Welcome to installment 112 of Sefer HaMitzvos from the Rambam. Today's portion contains one commandment, positive commandment 95, that regulating haforas nedarim, or the nullification of a vow. The nullification of vows, or haforas nedarim, is discussed in the book of Numbers, in chapter 30, at the beginning of the parsha of Matthes. There it discusses all the different details of how a vow can be nullified and when and under what conditions a vow can be nullified. The Rambam counts this nullification of vows as a positive commandment, and in Sefer HaMitzvos immediately directs himself to the obvious problem. How can there be a commandment to nullify vows? One is allowed to make a vow to fulfill a certain action. The Rambam explains that in this case, the commandment is not to do a particular act. There is no commandment to nullify a vow. Rather, the commandment is that in the case when a vow must be nullified, certain conditions must be fulfilled, and it must follow the certain laws. These laws are haforas nedarim. It might be compared to the law of divorce. There is, of course, no commandment to divorce. However, when one does divorce, there is a commandment, a biblical commandment, a mitzvah, to perform the divorce in a certain manner according to the laws of the Torah. The Rambam refers us for more details of these laws to the Talmudic tractate Nedarim. We can glean from the Gemara and from the Rambam's legal code and even the Chumash several general rules relating to haforas nedarim, the nullification of vows. The Chumash discusses three different types of haforas nedarim, or nullification. There is in addition another type known as hataras nedarim. The types of haforas nedarim to be mefer a neder, or nullify it in this way, applies only to a woman. Two of the cases discussed in the Chumash are a father's nullification of the vows of his daughter. The other one applies to a husband's nullification of his wife's vow. Hataras nedarim, this release from a vow, applies to every single person, and must be done by a Torah scholar or a Bez Din, a Jewish court. The first category discussed in the Chumash is that of a young girl between the age of 11 or approximately 12 and a half. This girl, whatever oath she might make, this oath can be nullified by her father in the same day in which she makes it. After she has become betrothed to her future husband, or as we have explained before in the laws of marriage, that there are two steps in a Jewish marriage. One is Edison, or Kedushin, the betrothal, and the second is the actual Nisuyin, the culmination of the marriage. Between these two time periods, the woman is considered to be totally married as far as being forbidden to another man. However, she does not yet live in her new husband's house, she rather remains in her father's house. In this time period, when she is betrothed, her vows can also be annulled. However, in order to annul such a vow in this time period, both her father and her husband must both nullify the vow on the same day. A third type of vow is between that of a husband and a wife. When a woman makes a vow, her husband can nullify it if he hears it in the same day in which she has uttered it. There is, however, a major difference between the type of vow that a father can nullify and that a husband can nullify. A father can nullify any vow that his daughter makes. However, a husband can only nullify a certain type of vow that his wife makes. The major type category is that which affects their mutual relationship. Should the woman make a vow which affects her relation with her husband, or directly affects the husband's life, then the husband can nullify this vow. So too, in the same category, a vow of self-denial, such as a wife who makes a vow not to eat or not to drink or something of the sort. This eventually, as the commentaries explain, comes to affect their mutual relationship as well, that since she has denying herself certain things, this will affect the way in which she relates to her husband. And therefore, this also affects their mutual relationship, and therefore the husband can nullify the oath. Those that give reasons to the mitzvahs explain that the rationale behind this mitzvah is that the Torah gives primary importance to preserving domestic tranquility. That should there be something that a woman could do to drive a wedge in between the husband's desires and her desires, and tear apart and threaten their relationship, the husband, as the man of the house, has the right to try to preserve that relationship and preserve that tranquility by nullifying the oath. If so, why is it that only a woman's oath can be nullified? Why is it that the man's oath cannot also be nullified? The truth is that we have hatoris nadarim, that the sages have the power to nullify the husband's oath, that since the husband has the obligation of making sure that the life in the house, the domestic behavior is carried out in such a way that the house should be a peaceful house and an everlasting house. This is the husband's responsibility. Should the husband make an oath which violates that sanctity and that unity of the house, then the sages can nullify his oath and thereby preserve the tranquility and the peace in the house. Even though a vow can be annulled, nevertheless, it must only be done with great care. The Talmud relates the story of Tzidkiyahu, that as a result of his having had a vow annulled, the entire Sanhedrin, the great Jewish court, was put to death. Tzidkiyahu was at the time the Jewish king, and was under the control of the Babylonian emperor Nebuchadnezzar. Since Tzidkiyahu was on good terms with Nebuchadnezzar, he was appointed king over 5 different lands. One time, the king Tzidkiyahu came into Nebuchadnezzar's chamber, unannounced, and discovered that he was eating a rabbit. But the rabbit was being eaten while it was still alive. The cruel emperor was tearing the limbs off this rabbit and eating Eiver Min HaChai. He was eating the limbs torn from a living animal, an offense which is prohibited even to the non-Jewish nations. Being embarrassed by this, Nebuchadnezzar had Tzidkiyahu swear that he would not reveal it to anyone else, and he did so. However, later on, Tzidkiyahu regretted this oath, and he went to the Sanhedrin and asked them to annul this oath, and they did so. At a later time, Tzidkiyahu, having been freed from his oath of secrecy, told these 5 kings about the cruelty of Nebuchadnezzar, that he was once discovered eating a rabbit alive. The 5 kings later on informed Nebuchadnezzar of this fact. They threw it back to him that he was such a cruel person that he ate a live rabbit. Nebuchadnezzar knew that he had to punish Tzidkiyahu, but he was unsure whether to just punish him or the entire Jewish people. He therefore invited the Sanhedrin, the great Jewish court, to sit before them and explain the laws of the Torah. And these sages told Nebuchadnezzar various portions of the Torah and went through all of the different laws. And when they came to the subject of vows, he asked them, "Is one able to annul a vow?" They answered, "Certainly. He can go to one of the sages, and a sage can nullify this vow." Nebuchadnezzar said, "Aha! Now I know how I was betrayed. You must have nullified this vow of Tzidkiyahu." He put all of the Sanhedrin to death, and each one was put to death in an extremely cruel fashion, that they were tied to the tail of a horse by their hair, and dragged in such a fashion from Yerushalayim until Lut. This tragic destruction and execution of the Sanhedrin was one of the terrible events which came before the destruction of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. There is also, however, a very positive side to the idea of nullifying vows, and this we will discuss in tomorrow's portion, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, God willing. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichas in English at 718-778-5436, and please join us again tomorrow.